Welcome to Living Faith Online with Pastor Connie McLean.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you, Lord God, as always. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we rejoice and we are glad in it right here, right now. Oh, Lord God, we just thank you, Lord God, that the devil is defeated and you are exalted in our lives. So we just thank you, Lord God. We thank you for our life, our health, and our strength, Father God. We just thank you, Father God, for having us in the right place at the right time, because every day of our lives, you are ordering our steps. And because you are ordering our steps, Lord God, something good is going to happen to us. So we just give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' name. And somebody shouted, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just want to just acknowledge, you know, important people in my life, my mother-in-law, Susie, my mom, my birth mom. She's had me since I was a child, of course. Now I'm a big grown baby. Moms never let you go, do they? And then to my darling wife, Minister Vonda. We celebrated 40 years this year of being married. Praise God. I know she looks like she's 17, you know, but I didn't rob the cradle. I didn't do anything illegal, you know. She's legit. We got papers. Praise God. And last but definitely not least, especially in our house, is our woman of God, Pastor Connie, in her absence today. Praise God. She's away getting some much-needed vacation, some what we call R&R, rest and relaxation. Praise God. So keep her in your prayers. She'll be back next Sunday, ready to minister the word of God. And then to each and every one of you, all my friends, you know, I just appreciate y'all. I appreciate this family here at Living Faith Christian Center. I'm going to try my best not to be before you long. Every time I say that, you know, something happens, you know, but where's the clock? Oh, Lord, it's already at 38. Jesus. All right. Praise God. Well, if I could use for a title today, I've been going back and forth as far as what I would say and how I would say it. It's just a lot in my heart. But if I did have to use a title today, I would say, don't play with sin. Don't yield to sin. Don't give in to sin. Don't even play with it, because it can cost you everything. And today we're going to look at that in the Bible. We're going to look at a powerful story. And if you would, you know, while I'm still talking, please turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. This story is about Israel, God's people, being defeated at this place in the Bible. You know, and I always laugh at this. It's called AI. And I'm saying, we got AI today, you know, but they had AI back then, but that AI was a city. Praise God, a small city. Some know this as the sin of Achan or sin in the camp. You may have heard people share this message before or teach on this in Sunday school, Bible study, or whatever. But we have heard over the years the phrase that sin will take you farther than you want to go, sin will keep you longer than you want to stay, and then sin will cost you more than you want to pay. I mean, I know that's a good little hashtag. I don't know who really came up with this phrase, but it definitely hits home. Praise God. And I pray that after the day, we become hypersensitive. In this day and time, there are so many things that we are hypersensitive about. But I hope by the end of today and going forward, not only you, but even myself, I become even more hypersensitive when it comes to sin in any area of my life, in my thoughts, in my minds, in my eyes, in my ears, in my emotions, in our bodies, and even sin in other people. I think I've shared this before. It's been a while since I've been up here, but you know, sin is in other people's like going into Wawa. Listen, you're not a coffee drinker. You don't like coffee. You can't even spell coffee. You don't even know where the coffee cups are. But when you go into Wawa to buy you some chips or your favorite drink or whatever you want to get other than coffee, after you make your purchase and come back in your car, guess what? You smell like a hint of coffee. Now, you didn't participate and drink any coffee, and sin in other people is just like that. Ephesians 5 and 3 says that, but among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. He didn't say the world. I mean, we look at people in the world that are not born again. Look, they're going to do what they're going to do. They're going to sin. They're going to live it up, you know, but we're going to live holy and we're going to live it up for the kingdom of God. And God paid an awful price for sin to no longer have dominion over us. It cost him everything. What did it cost him? It cost him his son, Jesus. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5 says that, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, what? Even our faith. Verse 5 goes on to say, well, who is he that overcomes the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. How many of you believe on today that he is the Son of God? So God has promised us, and I was just, you know, laughing at most of the songs today, talking about how the devil is defeated, you know, because God is on our side, and everything just, all of the songs focus has us focused on that if God be for us, there is nothing in this world that can stand against us. God has promised his people a life of victory because all throughout the Bible it says that the work is finished. And everything that he promised us is already done. However, the Bible does admit and it does teach on the possibility of what? Defeat. Nobody's confessing that. But Isaiah 1:19 says that what? If ye be willing and obedient, ye should eat the good of the land. Proverbs 24:16 says that, for a just man falleth, what? 7 times, but he riseth up again. Hebrews 10:26 says that, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. So the Bible teaches us the need of being defeated. It never teaches us that we really need to be defeated or that we really need to lose, praise God, in this life. It always directs us to. It always tells us, like in 2 Corinthians 2 and 14, now thanks be unto God, who always what? Causes. It said always, not sometimes, not if we feel like it, but God always causes us to what? Triumph. Romans 8:37, this is a familiar one. Nay, in all these things, we are what? All right, I know the men should know this because we've been studying the Conqueror series this year, but in all these things, we are what? We're not just conquerors. We're not just getting by, but we are what? More than conquerors through him that loved us. So today I want to talk about getting to a place where we have a constant, steady flow of victory. And I'm talking about victory all the time. Man, when I was in my charismatic or Pentecostal circles, we used to always sing that song, victory, victory shall be mine. Victory, victory shall be mine. If I would hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. Victory, victory shall be mine. Now, I didn't know it does victory or victory, but it all hit home. We knew we had the victory. And it was ours. And because the devil is defeated, we're not going to give up the victory. Praise God. So before we get to Joshua, I just want to read Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. And I don't know about you, but I'm not of the persuasion that just because we're in the New Testament and we're under grace, that the Old Testament doesn't have any validity in our lives. Look, we wouldn't even know what was in the New Testament if it wasn't for the Old Testament. We wouldn't even know that Jesus was coming through 420 generations without the Old Testament. So I thank God for both of them because Christ came to fulfill the Old Testament. So it's like a jambalaya. It's all mixed in there. And if we think just because we are under grace that God has changed his mind about sin, look, we are sadly mistaken and we have drunk too much of the world's juice. Joshua 1, and I'm just going to read this to you to tell you how, to give you the expectation of, that God has for his people, those who call him Lord, those who have accepted him as their Lord and Savior. And I'm not saying you live a perfect life, because only one person did that. Only one person could do that. And who is he? What's his name? That's what I'm talking about. He is the only one. But just listen to this. You can make a note, Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9, and it reads, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Moses, minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." And we know there's a big debate about whose land it is over in the Middle East. Well, I'm just thoroughly convinced that if God makes a promise to you, it doesn't just stop. It's forever. It's eternal. So I believe, just like it says here, he told them to go in, the children of Israel, and to possess the land. Verse 3 says that every place, just for a moment, think about every place that you've been this week. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given you. I've already given you that, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. And listen to this. I like verse 5, and it says that there shall not any man, there shall not be any man able to stand before thee, what? Not some of the days, not one of the days, but all the days of thy life. That sounds like victory all the time. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Look, 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 be strong and of a good courage, and for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do. Even though he's going to bless us with all this, he wants us to observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not to it from the right hand or to the left. That why? That thou mayest prosper wherever you go. Verse 8 is one of my favorite verses for me personally. And it says, this book of the law, the B-I-B-L-E. Well, back then it wasn't the Bible. They were written on scrolls. But this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate, think upon it, think on it. Let it go over and over in your mind. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then and only then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then and only then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Man, back in 2020, this planet had us in fear. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee. For the Lord thy God is with thee. What does that mean to you? When God is with you, what does that mean to you? God is with you. What does that mean to you? I'm talking to you. God is with you. He's on your side. What does that mean to you? Whew. We don't want to play with sin. We don't want to give in to sin. We don't even want to smell like we got a hint of sin on us. Because God hasn't changed his mind about sin. And I'm convinced today that if you're not reading your Bible, if you're listening to the world, if you're watching the media, the radio, Instagram, Facebook, some of your best, your well-meaning friends, you're going to misinterpret what God means or what God calls sin. He hasn't changed his mind. Joshua 7. All right. Victory all the time. Starting with verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, some people in the Hebrew, they say it as Ahan. I'm like, okay, I've been saying Achan for a long time. It's like pecan and pecans, you know. The son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Have you ever wondered what does that word accursed mean? What did they take? Well, accursed is a stronger word than just cursed. It means something that's devoted to destruction. It's not only devoted to destruction, but it's set apart for God's own personal wrath. And a cursed thing is something that was banned from God's people. In the Hebrew, the word often is translated herem, H-E-R-E-M. Meaning that it's devoted to God for judgment. It's completely given over to him, listen, with no chance of reclaiming it back. So when Israel fought Jericho, God said that the city of Jericho and all its possessions and all its people were accursed. That means they were devoted to destruction. Praise God. Verse 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven on the east of Bethel, and spake of them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up. Oh, they were talking smack. See, they had already experienced victory in the new promised land. When they entered the promised land, look, they had three major enemies that they had to deal with. The first one was Jericho. Then they have Ai, whom they're dealing with in this chapter. And then there's another one called the Gibeonites. So they went up, they're hither of the people, about 3,000 men, verse 4. And they fled before the men of Ai. So here they are. Joshua told them to go and spy out the land. And they saw that Ai was a small city. And, you know, I guess Israel, they were just like we are sometimes. They said, oh, man, that ain't nothing. You know, we don't need to pray about that. We don't need to seek God's will about Ai. What's that? I just got a cough. I don't need to pray about a cough. I can take care of that myself. See, they started to get a little careless. They started to get a little prideful. They didn't even want to seek God. And guess what Joshua did, being the leader? He said, okay, well, just send 2,000 or 3,000 people to Ai. My God, and when they went there, well, to Ai, man, Ai whipped that butt. Was that okay? Y'all didn't feel nothing, right? Look, I'm not going to be one of those preachers cussing in the pulpit. I don't cuss at all. Praise God. But Ai, though they were small and little, man, they with God on their side, they took Israel out and sent them back where they came from. This was the first time they experienced that. You know, everywhere they went with the Ark of the Covenant, guess what? They were winning battles left and right, not losing at all. And then they just had this phenomenal victory where when they went to Jericho, God told them what to do. They didn't sit there and say, okay, man, how are we gonna handle Jericho? How are we going to overcome this wall? That's why in all that we do, man, we have to acknowledge him in everything that we do. Everything. And so God told the children of Israel, look, I want you to march around Jericho one time for 6 days. Then I want you to march around Jericho on the seventh day seven times. And at the end of seven times, I want you to give a shout. We all know the rest of the story, that the walls came tumbling down and they defeated Jericho. Not only did they defeat them, but they destroyed everything in that camp. Men, women, children. Ah, God's not a God of love. God's gonna kill the little babies. God's gonna kill women. Y'all quiet in here. We're gonna get to that. But they conquered Jericho. Praise God. So, what I wanted to ask you now is that if God is on our side, then it must be a reason why God's people were defeated. How could they lose? They've been winning everywhere. They still had the Ark of the Covenant. Joshua 1, the promises of God that God would be, that no man would be able to stand before them all the days of their life. That didn't change because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So why were they defeated? If God is on their side, how could they lose or be defeated? How can we lose or be defeated if God is on our side? Have you ever thought about why are things not working out? Why am I not where I should be? Why am I not prospering like I should be? Why this? Why that? Do you ever think about that if God is real? I'm just letting you know how I think, but I'm just act like I'm talking to you. But that's what I think about. God, if you're real, I want to experience you every day. I don't want to wait till I get to heaven. Yeah, I get that. If I can't see you and can't feel you and can't touch you, but I can experience your power and your grace, and I know that if I die, I believe that I can go to heaven because I really believe that to be absent from the body is to be present to the Lord. But I want to experience some of God right here, right now, today, because I'm going around telling everybody that God is on my side. I'm saying, look, bro, you don't want to mess with me. You don't want the backhand of that anointing to get on you. Listen, I can turn the other cheek, and it's going to still be a problem for you. I don't even have to fight. Now, my dad raised me to fight. Now, I didn't make it as a prize fighter. But if you come in my house and you come on my property, you're going to have your hands full. It might just be for 10 seconds, but it's going to be a full 10 seconds. I'm going to be going in and going out, giving it up. Oh, Lord, praise God. I got to, make sure I get in shape before I go a full round. But if the work is finished and we come to church and we sing all these songs and we encourage one another in the Lord and we come here week in and week out, some of you tithe week, month in and month out. Week every 2 weeks, you're tithing, you're sowing. And then we had those who are sowing their time by serving in this local church. Not to mention what you're doing outside of this church in the name of the Lord. How can we lose? Something has to be not right. And that's where Israel was at in this story as we get into Joshua chapter 7. So imagine this. The children of Israel, they had marched around Jericho, like I said, for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, they marched around the city seven times and the wall came down. And they destroyed Israel. And so then it was nighttime and, soldiers go to sleep. My wife, we were talking a little bit about this. She had a very good point, but I don't want to preach her message. But at nighttime, the soldiers, they just might be camped out. They just finished battling. The walls of Jericho are down. They just finished battle. So in my mind, here we have this guy named Achan or Ahan. He's coming outside and he's going back over where the walls of Jericho are all down. There's nothing but rubble because it's destroyed. Israel did what God told them to do. But then he notices something shining, something sparkling in the distance. He's like, oh, what's that? He walks over there, looks at it, and it's a bag. He picks it up. He said, ooh, you know how when you find some money in church? There we go. All right, whoever lost money, y'all, you come to the front row. Those are those people there. You know how when you find some money. They picked up that bag and he saw, what, 200 shekels of silver. Man, you know, I've been in the army 21 years. Soldiers, we don't get that kind of money. So can you imagine what it felt like when he had that in? He said, ooh, I'm going to hold on to this. Then he moved a little further. He saw something else sparkling. Ooh, this must be my day, man. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, he didn't say that, but he looked down and he saw, ooh, something else shining. You know, it was really kind of yellowish like. It might even look like some cheese, you know. But he went down, he grabbed it, picked it up, and it was a gold bar. Oh, man, he got 200 shekels of silver. Now he has a gold bar. And right next to that, it was this garment. He's like, wow, look at this, man. He picked that garment up and started dusting it off. Oh, my gosh, it was beautiful. He knew it was from Babylon, this garment. So he had all these things. But the things that he had, those were things that were devoted to, and what's that word? Accursed. Those were devoted to God for his own personal destruction. And now we have who? Achan. He's taking the devoted things. Now, you know how you feel. I don't know about you, but every now and then I'm walking outside on the street, you know, and I find something. Now, if I find something on the street and nobody's around, I'm like, all right, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this $20 bill. Praise God. But here we have Achan that has these three items. So he goes back to his tent because nobody's up, nobody's looking. How many of you know that the eyes of the Lord are in every place? Beholding what? The evil and the good. So when you think you're doing your thing, whatever that sin may be, and I don't even want to say anymore, use the word where we got challenges, we make a mistake. I get all that. But we need to call things what God calls them, because that makes it does something to a person's soul when you say, man, you're sinning. Like, what? Yeah. So Achan thinks nobody sees him. So he takes the item. He runs to his tent. He gets back in his tent. And I'm really trying to, got a few minutes. He gets back in his tent. And sometimes we do things that we know are not right. And guess where we take it? Back home. Thank you. We take it back home. So he took these items back to his tent. And in his tent, he dug a hole. And he buried all three of those items in a hole, covered it up, and he went to sleep. Thinking that what? How I got over. I looked back and wondered. Thinking he had got over. Thinking nobody saw him. But somebody saw him. God saw him. So that's where we are. That's what is known as the sin of Achan. Praise God. Listen, we're going to have to give account for every deed that we do. We have to give account for every word spoken. Every idle word spoken. So here we find that Achan committed this thing called a trespass. You know, and we have different types of sins in the Bible. Trespass is one of them. Just a general sin is when you miss the mark or God's standard without even trying to. A trespass is when you cross the line. It's like a violation. You know, you see the do not enter sign and you do it anyway. I remember one time when I was in recruiting in Massachusetts, I had just started, you know, and I thought, you know, they give recruiters a government vehicle and the tags say government on it. And so in recruiting, we had to go back then when we could, we had to go door to door. So I entered this property, you know, because I said, ooh, I want to go back there. And it did have a say, do not enter sign. And when I got about halfway back there, I guess it was the owner. He came up, hey, you can't be back here. I said, you see my tags? U.S. government, I can go wherever I want. I thank God I didn't get shot. That was a straight, what, trespass. Then you got transgression. That's just open rebellion. You get mad at the person that put up the do not. trespass sign, and you just want to take them out. Then we have iniquity. That's when something inside of you is bent on the wrong way. It's not just doing something wrong. It's like having a crooked heart on the inside that keeps pulling you towards sin. And then lastly is lawlessness. You just live like there is no law at all. Praise God. All right, Joshua. All right. A few points I want to make real quick in the next maybe 15 minutes. The first one is don't get careless or prideful. Look, always go to God in prayer, no matter how insignificant you think anything is. Listen, we don't know. For the last few years, I don't even try to go home the same way. I try to always listen to God. I don't know what dangers are there, because I really believe that I'm always in the right place at the right time. Listen, with seed in my hand so that I can be a blessing. So I'm expecting that. But listen, we want to pray about everything. Pray about everything. Man, that's a lot. I know you know it's a lot going on in this world right about now. I don't know who to trust. I don't know who to believe. Thank you, Minister Mike. But I do know who to believe in. We're going to believe in the B-I-B-L-E. We're going to trust God. Praise God. So don't get careless and don't get prideful. Israel got careless in the beginning. They didn't pray. But the good thing about Israel is that, starting at verse 6, is that, man, Joshua, he's a good trooper. He recognized he messed up. So in Joshua 7, verse 6, it says, and Joshua, this is when they had got their butt spanking, and Ai sent them back crying. Joshua rent his clothes. He fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventime. Look, he and all the elders and put dust upon their heads. See, whenever we come to God, we have to believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So look, when you need a prayer, when you know you done messed up, even if you don't know you that you messed up, man, when you go to God, you need to believe that he is. Verse 7, and Joshua said, alas, O Lord, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan? Man, I want y'all to listen to how Joshua prayed. My God. Wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites? That's not what you told us in the beginning. You told us that no man would be able to stand before us all the days of our life. What, you sent us here to deliver us into the hands of our enemies so that they would destroy us? Would to God we had been content to what? Dwell back on the other side in Jordan as slaves in Egypt. Man, I would rather be there, Lord. This is Joshua talking to God. He said, oh, Lord, what shall I say? When Israel turneth their back before their enemies. Here we are, God is on our side, we've turned our back on our enemy, and we are running as in terror. For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it. All our enemies are going to hear about this and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Lord, what are you going to do about this? This is your name at stake now. And the Lord said unto Joshua, he said, get thee up. I bet back then, I mean, James Brown wasn't around back then, but I bet the Lord would say, get on up now. Get on up. Get up. Get on up. That's all we're going to do with that verse of that song. But that's what he was telling Josh. Get up, man. What's wrong with you, man? Get up. Wherefore liest thou thus? Why are you lying on your face like this, talking all this smack? He said, Israel has sinned. That's the problem. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded thee. For they have even taken of the accursed or devoted thing to me for my own personal destruction. They've also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Man, what a word from God. Verse 12, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Oh my God. It's getting ready to get ugly. Verse 13, up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. People often say, this is where they say, there is sin in the camp. O Israel, thou canst not stand before thy enemies. Listen, man, we're fooling ourselves if we think we can have sin in our lives and think we can still say, I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. It's not going to happen, not from our God. He's not blessing that. He's not putting his hands on that. So you can stop fooling yourself today because this. Just look and keep reading this story and meditate on that. Until ye take away, verse 13, until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. See, once you get sin right, God is back where he was. He's back in his position of being on your side and blessing you. We have to make and keep things right with God so he can move in our life. Verse 14, in the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes. Man, now God is getting ready to get down to godly business. And what he's getting ready to do is, he's getting ready to call all the tribes of Israel to come before him, Ark of the Covenant, one by one. After he calls all the tribes, he's going to say, ooh, that's the tribe right there. So as the tribes begin to line up, just think if we saw all the children's ministries and everybody in their ministry section. Uh-oh, here comes children's ministry. Here comes Gen next, and all the people serve. Now here comes crossover. Here comes marriage ministry, and all the ministries are coming. Oh, once children ministry come, God's just stop. Oh, stop right there. Hold it up right there, children's ministry. Then what he does next is, once he gets the tribe there, then he goes to the families. All right, children's ministry, now line up in families. Got the Wilkins family, the Jones family, the Gladden family. They all line up. Now I want the families to come before me. They're all, just imagine walking across, coming to this point. And now all the families are coming like, oh, hold up right there. That family, stop right there. That's the family. Then once the families get there, then God said, okay, now I got to really get down to the nitty gritty. Now I want you to line up by men. See, God doesn't mind. If you don't call yourself out, God's going to call you out. So now all the men are coming. And I don't know who was first. All I know is that when he got to Achan, hold up right there. Boom. That's what verse 14 is all about. And then he says, and it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire. He and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So then Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was shaken. And he just went through this whole process that we talked about. And then we get to Joshua 7, verse 19 through 21. And when they got to Achan, Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel. Give glory to God. How? By making a confession unto him. And tell me now what thou hast done, and hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, my God, look, I admire the humility of Joshua, but it's too little, it's too late. I indeed have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, I took them, and behold, I hid them. And sometimes that's how sin gets a stronghold on us. Oh my gosh, we look. Then we say, I want, we covet it. Man, we need to be happy with what God has blessed us with. We're not the Joneses. We're not trying to compete with one another, man. I'm just happy where I'm at with what God's doing. What God is doing for me, man, it might not be look as grandiose as you, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt what he's done for me. Praise God. I know I couldn't do it by myself. There's no way. But sometimes when we covet, we take it, and then we hold it in. Sometimes we don't even hold it physically, but we hold it in our heart. And then the next thing we do is that we cover things up once we hold it and have it. So are you trying to do that today? Is there in your life any unconfessed or unrepentant of sin that you have kept hidden, that you're covering up? Achan could not have dug deep enough to put those things in the earth and hide it from God, because God already knew. So the next thing I want you to think about is that private sin, although Achan did this and was private, private sin is never really private. The Bible calls this thing that Achan did the accursed thing. Why? Because the curse of God is upon sin. I don't care how little, I don't care how bad it is. You know, even God mentions some things that are abominations to him. But we look at sin as people. And just because you're not fornicating, committing adultery, and doing drugs, but you got hate, malice, and strife in your heart, you think you're better than somebody else sitting in here? Whew, help us, Lord. Because the curse of God, it's upon sin, and it's especially upon sin that is hidden. This will bring you to your ruin. It will keep you from having victory all the time. You know, I don't know if y'all caught this, but one Sunday, Pastor Connie had mentioned, listen, man, y'all should probably take communion not just on first Sunday. So I've been doing it. You know, I know Minister Kim, Minister Mike are doing it, pastors, you know, we talk about it at work. But when you take communion, it just makes you sensitive. It gets you to the place where you're hypersensitive, because we get dulled by this world. But it makes you hypersensitive, not just once a month. I would encourage you to do it every week. We got plenty of communion elements. But especially if you miss the mark, especially if you get over the sin, don't wait. When I was growing up, I don't know how we came to do this. We were like maybe 5, 6, 7, and a group of us, every day we would go out and play. And anytime we did anything wrong, we would always say, forgive me, Lord. We could be playing football. We would say, no, man, you just said a bad word. No, you better say, forgive me, Lord. We would say this all the time. Now, once I moved from that neighborhood, I didn't really do that anymore. But I said, why were we even doing that? But if I would have kept doing that from that day to now, my God, man, some of the men know my story. Maybe I would have avoided a lot of things that happened in my life. But forgive me, Lord. Are you that sensitive to what you're saying, what you're looking at, what's going in your ears, who you're talking to? How do you feel after somebody leaves your presence? You might even feel some way about me after you leave my presence. It's nothing personal. It's just about, hey, if that's how you feel, you have to deal with that. You might think it's me, deal with it. If it's you, deal with it. But just don't let it go unanswered and don't do anything about it, because that's just like covering the sin, just like what Achan did in the camp. But sin is never private. We think it's private, but it's never private. It touches all of us, especially all of us who name the name of Christ. Not to pick on them, because if my life was out front, on TV, in the main media, y'all might be looking at me twisted right about now. Or could you handle that? Could you handle that kind of screw? Thank you. Thank you. Scrabble champion. Could you handle that kind of scrutiny day in and day out? where people are looking at every aspect of your life, looking at every word that you say day in and day out. But sin is never private. It includes all those people that are in your circle. So when a man of God that's in the public eye, when he falls, when he gets into sin, man, we don't applaud that because that makes it hard for each one of us here. Oh, look at those Christians. We all trying to, oh, man, brother so-and-so, he failed. Man, y'all ain't right. Y'all don't believe in God. Y'all not serving God. When you do things, it impacts your family. We're going to find out here. I want to get there because I just want you to see it. But it's never private. For we, Romans 14 and 7 says, for we don't live for ourselves, we don't die for ourselves. So when we sin and fall short and then we try to cover it up, it impacts the lives of others. Praise God. So, private sin, it involves God, number one. We dishonor his name. Private sin involves your family. It dishonors your family. Private sin involves your friends and the body of Christ. Do you really care about the name of God? Is that how you walk? Is that how you talk? Is that how you live? Is that how you go in and out? I know you want to be blessed going in and blessed going out. But when you confessing that you're blessed going in and blessed going out, what's your attitude like? What's your lifestyle like? What's your conversation like? If there is sin hidden in your life, you're going to cause the people of God to stumble and fall. You're going to bring disgrace to Almighty God. That's why David said, he said, man, this thing that I did, I have only sinned and done this evil in God's sight. Praise God. So we are all part of the body of Christ. So that's why sin impact is never private. Listen, you have a right to be in my business just as much as I have a right to be in your business. You know, when I'm in the Army and we're in our uniform and we're at work 24/7, I don't know about other people's units, but with my unit, look, as long as we're at work, as long as we're on the clock when we're working, if we're on the battlefield, listen, everybody is holding everybody accountable. And what you do matters. We may not love each other. I even served with people who were racist. But when it came to us doing our jobs and representing the United States Army on foreign soil, we did not take that lightly. That's what we did. We should be like that in the kingdom. But I can't say nothing to Minister Mike. I know I can say something. I didn't want to call anybody else's name. But I can't say something if I say, man, Minister Mike, you told Minister Kim you love her like that. No, you might have said something else. You can't do that. See, we don't want anybody in our business. And Minister Mike often says a lot, people like to hide right here among us. We know you're hiding. So after Achan, I'm on verse 22, and we're almost done. Thank you for your patience. Verse 22, after Achan confessed what he did. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent. And behold, it was hid in this tent, the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters. This right here almost made me want to cry because they were gathering everything that Achan had, his sons, his daughters, his oxes, his asses, his sheep, look, even his tent and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel, they did what? They stoned him with stones, burned him with fire. And after they had stoned him with stones, and then they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. So that's why I say your sin is never private. Achan, his family, his sons, his daughters, all that he had was destroyed because he had touched the accursed thing, and it was already marked by God to be destroyed by God. One of the things I would encourage you to do, man, if you have children, if you had grandchildren, one of the things that God has prompted me to do over the years is that, man, if I'm faced and I'm struggling with some type of sin, one of the first things I put before my mind, the word is always there speaking to you. But I put my children there. Because I believe that, man, if I'm doing this, man, sins have a way of being generational curses. And it goes down the line. I'm thinking about my grandson. I'm thinking about my son. They're innocent. Just like Achan's family was innocent. His sons and his daughters were destroyed because of what he did. He was the only one that went and got those items. He was the only one that dug that hole and buried those items. Man, could you take it today? How would you feel if your sin, whatever you did in the past or whatever you're doing right now, if it cost your family their life? I know y'all don't want to shout right now. I got that. But see, we play with sin like it's casual. We play with sin like God's not real. We play with sin like Jesus didn't give us his all from his birth until his death, his burial, and his resurrection. He sacrificed the perfect life for us so that sin shall not have dominion over us anymore. I am free. I am free. Because who the Son sets free is free indeed. But we got to stop playing with the world. See, the Bible says the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, they enter into our heart and they call us to have even more so of this warfare where we're being betwixt between the two. I want to serve for God, but I feel like I can't help it because we believe, Flip Wilson, that the devil made me do it. But the devil can't make you do anything. I know this might be my last time here. I'm glad I'm a member, so I don't have to worry about coming back. I'll just be back. I'll be serving. And one last thing I want to say. Be careful what you consent to. In the Bible, in the book of Acts around Acts 7, 58 through 61, it talks about when Stephen was being stoned. And it says, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him, talking about Stephen. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet. And at the time, his name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord, and Stephen was calling upon God, said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Verse 8 is what I want you to hear. And Saul, who was consenting unto his death. Saul didn't do anything. He just stood there. He held their garments. I don't even think it said that he said anything. But because he was there and stood there, he saw it. He didn't say anything. He consented to Stephen's death. What are you consenting to? I got a whole list of things that I would like to share with you, but I'm not for the sake of time. I'm over my time now. But what things do you consent to without even knowing it? That you agree with without even knowing it, without even saying it? That we watch? Man, we serve a living Savior. We used to sing this song growing up called saying that real, Jesus is real to me. Oh, yes, he gave me the victory. Victory. So many people doubt him, but I can't live without him. That is why I love him so, because he's so real to me. What I'm saying today is, he real to you? I know all of you here, we're serving together. We've been knowing each other for a while, most of us here. But man, after 40 years of ministry, we're like the, maybe we were in the wilderness, I don't know. But we, those last 40 years, these next 40, they can't be the same. So we have to come together in agreement. We got to look at things the same way. And the first thing we got to do is just look at sin and call it for what it is and not take it personal. But let's just pray. Father, we just thank you. We praise you, Lord God. Father God, I just ask right now that you just open our hearts, open our minds to your voice so that we can hear your voice like never before. Father, sometimes because of the cares of this world, the cares of this life, we forget who you are. We forget your standard. We forget what you've done for us. Sometimes our actions don't line up with what we confess. We ought to confess that if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, are we for you? Lord, help us to be for you. Help us to live for you. We know it's in you that we live and that we move and we have our very existence, Lord God, but we want that to go beyond just a confession. We want it to be a reality so that with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, our body, and our strength, we serve you. We live for you. We stand up for you no matter where we are. We say what you tell us to say. We do what you tell us to do. We go where you tell us to go. And because, Father, if you're leading us, even if we end up in the right place, because we heard from you and we transition into glory because of some craziness going on, my God, we'll celebrate just like the apostles in Acts. Because we know that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So Lord, I just thank you, Father, that this, from this moment forward, Father God, we will become hypersensitive to sin in any area of our lives. We'll denounce it. We'll reject it. We'll deal with it. We'll cast it out because it has no dominion over us. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And Satan, we serve you notice that we won't allow no schism, no strife, no division, no hatred, no malice. We're going to be patient, kind, long-suffering, temperate. We're going to speak the truth in love. Father God, we're going to be everything that you called us to be. But we're going to do it in such a way that it brings glory and honor to your name. So, Father, we just thank you and that we present, Lord. If there's anything, Lord God, that we've hidden, that we've not dealt with, we ask that you speak to our hearts right now. Help us to go into the depths of our heart and dig it up and bring it out. Because we realize, Lord, that if we hide it, you're going to uncover it. And if you uncover it, it might be too late. But if we uncover it, then the blood of Jesus will cover us. Praise God. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. So we just give y'all the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, if you're here today and you have never accepted or made Jesus the Lord of your life, now is your time. I believe you're in the right place at the right time. Is there one today who wants to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior? One person here. You probably think that, look, I'm not right. I want to wait until I get right. Man, even if you do everything right, you won't be right enough. You're still going to need Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're here today, let's just pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for loving me so much that you gave me your very best. I believe your best for me is your son, Jesus. I believe Jesus lived, he died, and he went to hell just for me. I believe he rose from the dead and he lives forevermore. Therefore, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, be my Lord, be my Savior, and be my Master. And I renounce, I give up the devil and all his works. Thank you, Jesus. And from this day forward, I am and forever will be saved, redeemed, renewed. I'm changed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Did we have one today? Did we say that? None. All right, this is a believer's meeting. Look, are we going to become hypersensitive? Amen. Praise God. Thank you.
Amen. Good word, Minister Allen. Thank you for laboring before the Lord and blessing us with such a mighty word. Amen. So I have an open confession as a result of that word. So I was at the store on Friday and I was buying some things and I got home and I looked at them. I was like, oh, I'm not sure I like everything, but I realized there was something put in the bag that I didn't pay for. And I looked at it and I said, I guess I'm going to keep it. But I thought about the young lady, and she was new, and she was struggling to learn her job. But I kept saying, you know what? I can't keep this jacket. I didn't pay for it. So I took, and I kept going back and forth with, hey, you know, JCPenney's not, look, I didn't steal it. JCPenney's, look, they get people shoplift off. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. I was reasoning in my head. But I said, Lord, I can't be blessed knowing that this jacket I didn't pay for. And every time I put it on, I'll be reminded that I stole it. I stole it because I know that I didn't pay for it. So that jacket is in the back of my car. I haven't been back to Penny's yet. It's going back. And I know when I take it back and I tell them I'm returning it because I didn't pay for it, I know that they're going to look at me some kind of way. But you know what? That word today told me I refuse to let my blessing be messed up by a jacket that I didn't pay for. Amen? So thank you, Minister Allen. That's confirmation. I'm taking it back. Amen. Not for no $26. Amen. So if you are joining us online, I ask that you prepare your seed, tithes, and offering. This is a form of worship, and it's a part of the service that we don't want to miss out on. And I just want to share, before I share the scripture, this past Thursday we had Minister Margaret's homegoing, and it was truly a joyous time, although it was sad. But what I want to capitalize on is the way our Living Faith Christian Center family came and served that family. Thank you so much for being a part. And their family texted me and just thanked me. Because Minister Margaret's children, none of them go to this church. But they were so blessed by the love of God that was exuded from Living Faith Christian Center. And it is because of your giving, it was because of your obedience of servitude that we were able to bless them. And when they walked in and they looked at the sanctuary and they were just in awe of everything. But how many of us know that that does not come just by what? Just by chance. It comes by us being obedient, making sure that this house is always provided for. And so that's why we stand here today as part of the service, recognizing that we all have a part to play, because it makes us proud when people say, this is a beautiful building and it's paid for. Ooh, you guys are blessed. Yes, we are blessed. And we're going to continue to be blessed because we're going to be obedient to the word. Amen. Amen. Can I get an amen? So I'm going to come out of the book of James, And I'm going to read out James 2, 5, 15 through 16. And it says, if a brother or a sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? This passage is not directly speaking about tithing, but it's also speaking about the fact that behind every purpose, we need to be mindful that when we tell people, when we send people here to the church and we tell them, call the church, and they don't go to this church, it's a blessing to be able to be proud to say, call the church. But understand that we are a church, and tithe and offering are an important part of us being able to answer the phones. I'm just keeping it real because Minister Allen was real today, so I'm just going to keep it real. Amen. When the electric bill comes in and Atlantic Electric or PSE&G or whoever you have say, pay your bill or get your lights cut off, you can't tell them, I don't have the money. Well, they say, well, I'm going to cut you off. But we can't do that in the body of Christ. We got to make God first in our lives. Because when we do that, we're able to meet the needs, not only of ourselves, but of others. And it's awesome to be able to have someone call here and we be able to provide shelter or clothing for them rather than have to turn them away. And what we hear a lot of times as they say is, we called 211. We called Catholic Charities. I'm going to tell you what we tell them. But they have nothing. And so I was told that you would be able to bless us. And there are times that we do bless people. There are times we put them up in a hotel and things of that nature. But that's because of your giving. You're a part of that. So I want you to know that your giving is making a difference in the lives of any and everyone that comes to these doors. It's causing faith to take in action. It's allowing Pastor to be able to stand here and bring such a mighty word. And the ministers and everyone else she calls. It's allowing us to be able to fund these beautiful big screens that everybody loves, and to say my church has a mission and we're mission empowered to do what God's called us to do. But in order to fulfill the vision, we have to be obedient to giving. Amen. And I know people don't like to hear that, but the real of it is we cannot exist here on this earth without some type of a seed, whether your seed sown in monetary or service unto the Lord. You've got to get up and do something. Can I get an amen? Amen. So I just want you to go before God and ask God, if you're not a regular tither or a giver, Lord, show me. Because I don't want to have bitterness in my heart against any or everyone. I don't want to be upset because of the fact that my church is not there because they had to close the doors. So Lord, show me what I need to do so that my church family, like Pastor said last week, we have a good church family, do we not? And we're not going to let anything or anybody come in and cause it to fail. So this is one way we need to make sure. Amen? Amen. So video, show us ways to give. Amen?
Here at Living Faith, we have made giving easy by using electronic options as much as possible. You can text to give by texting LFCCNJ to 77977. You can give once or set up as a recurring gift. Just enter in your details, confirm your gift, and you're done. You can give through our LFCCNJ Church app. This method will look similar to text to give. The iOS version of the app can be downloaded at the App Store, or you can get the Android version on Google Play. You can also give online at lfccnj.com/giving. If these options are not possible, you can obtain a pink envelope and deposit it as you leave. We thank you again for joining us today. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. And if you would like to donate to our food drive, which is coming up, you can make a donation in the outreach section on your pink envelope. Or if you're giving online, online, you can indicate outreach. And anything given in the month of October will go to our outreach to make sure we have more than enough food to give to those who may be in need for Thanksgiving. Amen. And so if you'd like to do that, your donation is appreciated. Are we all ready to give? All right, let's stand to our feet. Amen. And let's say this confession and say it with a fresh anointing, a fresh declaration. Amen. Let's read. We decree that because we are tithers, we receive the promise of the scripture that protects those who tithe and give offering. As a household, we are committed to tithe and give into the Lord's work. Therefore, we claim tithers' rights. That means no devourer, destroyer, waster, plunger, or pillager can rob from us in Jesus' name. They cannot steal our blessing or fruitful harvest. They cannot steal from our homes, businesses, or from any of our loved ones. The destroyer can't strip away our heritage or harm our children. We stand in the tithers blessing, which promises that the Lord will rebuke the evil one on our behalf. We stand in the tithers blessing, that the Lord will open up heaven's treasure and pour out blessings we do not have room enough to receive. We stand confident that the tithe is raising a standard against every demonic plot and attack. We have faith that as Jesus, our Lord and eternal high priest, stands in heaven receiving our tithe, we are under covenant of his blessing. We prophesy that the promise to the tither rests upon our families in Jesus' name. According to Malachi 3:11, Hebrews 7:8, amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. And let's send our hands up to the Lord and let us just pray over our giving. Father, we thank and praise you, Lord God. We thank you for the opportunity to sow seed into this good ground, Lord God. We thank you, God, that you thought about Living Faith Christian Center well before the 40 years, Lord God, when you put it into the hearts of Dr. Lamont and Pastor Connie, God. We thank you, Lord God, that we are able to be a part of this great vision, Lord God, by being obedient to what your word commands, Lord God, for this part of the body of Christ. So, God, we ask that you take this seed that we are sowing, Lord God, and we pray, Lord God, that this seed would go into good ground, which is Living Faith Christian Center, Lord, what you established, Lord God, over 40 years, Lord God, and that it would go deep into the ground, God, that it would come back, Lord God, with a full and right harvest, Lord God, so we would be able to give again and again and again, not just financially, Lord God, but whatever it is that we may need to give as a body of Christ, God, we will be able to give and not have to turn anyone away, Lord God. So seed, we tell you to go and grow and go into the ground, and you grow and bring back a harvest full and ripe, so we may be able to give when there is a need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Good afternoon, family. I'm going to share a few hot topics at this time. Video ministry, can you roll the videos?
Have you noticed something new in LFCC's sanctuary and foyer? The new tap dots are our newest point of contact, a way for you to keep up to date with what's going on at LFCC. And all you have to do is tap. Nothing to download or install. Find events, visit our new website and social media pages. You can also give electronically. And all you have to do is tap. Try it today.
We're excited to invite you to join in our upcoming monthly Bible study, held every second Thursday from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. We are diving into the powerful book of Acts. Whether you're new to the Bible study or a seasoned reader, you'll find this study to be engaging and enriching. As you read, jot down any questions or thoughts. Whether you're bringing questions, thoughts, or just an open heart, you'll be a vital part of this exciting journey through the Acts of the Apostles. We can't wait to see you there. Mark your calendars. Let's make this Bible study one to remember.
Do you have a passion for audio and/or video production? Do you feel called to use your skills to serve in ministry? We are seeking dedicated volunteers to join our audio and video teams. If you're interested in contributing your talents to help enhance the excellence of our worship services, we would love to hear from you. Your gifts can make a difference in furthering the reach of our ministry. Visit our website and complete the form. For more information, contact Minister Alan Wilkins at 856-661-8110.
Hallelujah. I have a few verbal hot topics. LFCC's annual food drive will take place on Saturday, November 15th, between the hours of 10 a.m. and 12 noon. If you need food, please complete an application that can be found on our website at www.lfccnj.com or by scanning the QR code in the lobby or by completing an application located in the sanctuary foyers. All applications are due no later than October 29th. Would you like to receive LFCC text alerts? They include reminders, closings, updates of events. To be added to the list, please type the word YES to 87447. That's type YES to 87447. This is our church management data system. Thank you. Please join us for our midweek online service reminder. Join us each Wednesday at 7 p.m. at our regularly scheduled midweek online service via YouTube. This week we will be bringing another legacy message from our late Dr. Lamont this Wednesday. Finally, October is Pastor Appreciation Month. This month, let's come together to honor our amazing pastor with our heart full of gratitude and joy. With the theming, we'll be dedicating it to support of embracing the powerful vision of her and the late Dr. Lamont to set for our church. Let's bless her with uplifting words of encouragement, make fresh commitments to serving and growing, and most importantly, show her just how deeply we love and appreciate her incredible leadership and dedication. Stay tuned for more details. At this time, let's welcome up Elder Allen, Minister Allen.
Praise God. Thank you, Minister Kim and Elder Robert Seaborn. Praise God. I'd like to take this time to welcome some very important people, our first-time visitors. We don't want to embarrass you by asking you to say anything. However, we would like you to stand so that we can acknowledge your presence with us this morning. Any first-time visitors? All right. Praise God. Hello there. Thank you. Hopefully you'll come back again next week. Pastor Connie will be here. Praise God. Does anyone need a church home? The Living Faith Christian Center is a good church. Would anyone here like to make Living Faith their church home? Going once. All right. Well, let's stand. Thank you again for your patience. I felt the love on today. Praise God. And just repeat after me. Repeat after me. I call you blessed, happy, fortunate, empowered to prosper, and to be envied. Have a great day. Amen. Hallelujah.